It's now time to think outside the box of what we've always known.
I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord.
I think that's a profound turning point in somebody's relationship with God.
And our hope in starting this was that this would become an ever-expanding conversation.
Just two real guys talking about life. That's a nice tagline.
I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And welcome to another edition of The God Journey.
Hey, welcome to 2007, Wayne.
Well, thank you, Brad, and welcome to you.
Thank you. It's been a banner year so far.
We're 4 days into it, and you're excited.
Oh, yeah. I've already had several storms and a whole bunch of controversy and all great things to deal with. And yet, Jesus is calming the storms. It's all great.
Okay, so you like this New Year thing.
Well, you know what? It's just a new year. It's just I haven't written a check. I haven't done something that says 07 yet, so I'm still in that little excitable mode of, you know, this is the first time I've said, welcome to 2007.
New Year's resolutions?
None. I did go skiing, though, on New Year's. No one was up there. It was beautiful.
I got a hilarious email from somebody that said, for 2006, they gave up the microwave oven so they could not feed their instant gratification. And this year, they were going to give up religion.
So they couldn't. Oh, that's great.
That's right. I thought, what an idea. I don't generally like resolutions, but that's pretty cool. A microwave.
I don't know. I think I can give up religion totally easy. The microwave, there's just a lot of things we use that for. I'm still in bondage
yeah,
to
I'm
the
not,
microwave.
I don't know if it's bondage. I just call it freedom and enjoy it. So, yeah, I'm not going to give it the microwave, but I thought it was hilarious.
You gave up
the
religion.
And
that's great.
Now they're going to give up religion and
all right.
Be excited about that part of the journey.
So, well, power with them.
Are you excited about anything coming up this year? I mean, looking down the road, do you see anything you're excited about? Or
yeah, there's a lot of good things that are brewing. We finished the Noah script. I signed off on it. And,
oh, you did? Okay.
So while they moved back the Ten Commandments, it won't be in theaters till September.
It was going to be November.
I'm not in charge of it.
It was theaters in September. Now
so they say. And but what's exciting is it's I love what's coming out. It looks great, and I'm pleased with it. So.
Well, is it up on the web yet? A trailer or anything? Nothing.
That'll be forthcoming. They got the whole sneaky thing. They just, you know, they got the whole, like, their marketing campaigns.
So you signed off on Noah, and we got Moses coming out, and what else going on?
Anything? We're going to do that Shaq book. You got to tease people with that.
I get enough hate mail on the Shaq thing.
I can't wait.
We have teased it.
It is in the can. It is ready. This is going to be a banner year. I sort of feel this is going to be a breakout year. This is going
to
be great.
Handed it to the copy editor day before yesterday.
Got
email from her today. She thinks it's very well written, and she's excited about reading it.
So yeah.
I don't even know if she's a believer, so that'll be kind of interesting.
That'll be great.
Yeah, it'd be kind of fun.
So, yeah, I just
coming
sort
out
of,
April maybe, huh?
Yeah.
March or April.
I'm excited about those things. I sort of feel like God is marching forward with some things he gave us to do.
Well, I missed you the last couple of weeks, man. I mean, we took a break, and I gave some people. Some people told me we finally got caught up on the podcast. They really enjoyed a bit of a break.
I figured we needed to give people a chance to get caught up.
I enjoyed the email after we first announced we were going to take a break for 2 weeks. Somebody wrote and said, I just found your podcast.
Now, now you're leaving. What?
And we just said, well, you know, there's 79 more to listen to. So
yeah,
I need to go
no
back.
Worries.
And
no worries there.
Get back and you know what? We got so many suggestions for funny moments to put our compilation CD together.
Oh, fantastic.
Actually,
I was wondering about that.
Actually, we got none.
Oh. That's more like what I would have understood. You had me shocked there for a moment.
I mean, I've had a lot of people say, gosh, I'm really looking forward to that CD. And I'm going, well.
I have a bunch.
You have a bunch of what?
Funny moments. But
what are you unzipping for, man? Don't unzip during a podcast.
It's my vest, buddy.
Okay.
I have a whole list of funny moments, but I'm not sure they apply with you. That's right.
Oh, you found some?
Yeah, I've got it. There's a few. So we'll get it happen.
Well, you know, maybe as people still, I mean, everybody's not going to listen to all of them, but maybe if you're listening in and you think back and you're hearing one, you go, ooh, that's a poignant moment or an hysterical moment, send it in. We'll see if we get enough to put one of those together up the road. How's that?
So did you get to not have to travel for a little while? Did you get to stay home and relax?
Took a couple of trips around the California area here with Sarah. So we had a little vacation time, visited some old friends, and then had a little bit of time with family. So, but have not been on an airplane since the early part of December. Will not be on one again probably till second week in February.
All right.
Got one California trip this month, but mostly staying home because there's just
a lot to do.
Podcasts to redo, book stuff, new projects, websites. It's just a whole bunch of stuff I've got to get done. So I'm working on it. And a new body life. I haven't done a body life since September. And so, you know, I got to do another one of those. So I'm working on that.
Well, we had a bunch of folks discussing the whole life and intimacy with Jesus stuff and a lot of questions on that.
I love the response we've gotten, but not only on the blogs, but some emails, and then on the forum, which is 400 of you on there now, so y'all be careful out there and take care of each other. But, I love the way people have responded to this, quite honestly. I mean, there's all the way from, you know, one gentleman called me from New England saying that podcast we did on intimacy and how real is it was the best thing he's ever heard anywhere. He's made all kinds of copies of this thing and given it away because he just said to me it really helped explain. Other people, though, didn't find it so helpful. Other people felt like we were so vague that maybe we didn't give the practice to somebody that's never kind of experienced it before. So it might be good for us to kind of step back and talk about it a little bit more and help some of that flesh out. One guy wrote, I think it was Chuck here from Japan, he said, it's not helpful for you guys to insist on being as vague as you are about how you each have personally experienced God's steps in bringing you personally closer to him. Frankly, it sometimes seems as though you're growing closer to God is just a touchy-feely set of words you use without any definition or explicit meaning to them. Interesting. Now, this was a great email. I mean, that sounds just taken out of context. Maybe that sounds a little belligerent. Chuck wasn't that way at all. It was just, help me understand this and help people who are really struggling, who are afraid to talk about principles and, you know, give formulas, which, you know, we don't want to give formulas, but I certainly think we can talk in more concrete terms if that's what's going to be helpful to people.
Yeah, there seemed to be a whole thread on one of the forum lines that, you know, the whole kind of struggle of, well, I don't want formulas and I don't want to just do principles, but people are looking for tangibles. And when you're talking about something that perhaps someone really hasn't had much experience for themselves, it is kind of like, you know, mentioning Russian if you've never heard it, and you're like, well, I can't jump in.
Oh, come on, just speak a few words.
You know, it's like I can't even make one up. And so I do think, I thought it would be really valuable because more of the people that I've been talking to lately, they have a hunger for God, but all they've ever known are sort of like the rote tradition things that they didn't connect to him with, and they're not exactly sure what to do. And I think whenever you dial this down to just the simplistic nature of, well, how do you actually enjoy a friendship? And you put an actual person that they have a relationship with. I said, how do you relate to them? Then it starts to become tangible. But I think people have a real challenge to make that happen with Jesus because I can't see him. I can't feel him. It's like he's invisible. Is he make-believe? And I think that's where there's some of the disconnect.
And God seems to do this very differently for people. Some people have, and in fact, I think in our country, last statistic somebody ran on this, the number was like 60-70% feel like they've had an experience with something they would call God, someone
the supernatural.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, for a lot of people who've had that kind of experience, and then the relationship with Jesus begins to bring definition to things they may have already seen or been hinted at in their life and experience. That's one thing. There's other people, and I think this is where we got a lot of the email from. People feel like, I don't have any idea what this means. I don't know what intimacy means. I don't know if I've ever had a moment of engaging the transcendent God. And so I'm struggling to kind of put some feet to that. I think that, to me, is where some of this angst, if I could use the word, comes from. It's just, I don't know. I want to. I mean, I've sat in church all my life. I've heard people talk about it. I've wanted it. I've read books about it. But for me, when I go get alone, this is what I'm hearing. If I go get alone somewhere, sit in my backyard or sit in my prayer closet or whatever, I don't feel nothing. I don't see nothing. And so
it's hard in those moments to not make it some sort of performance thing. Like I've got to make it happen. Or like I'm going to establish a time for that I'm going to meet with God, but I'm establishing it and I don't know if he agreed to it. And so I go to my room with all these expectations and these hopes, and I'm not sure how they're supposed to be set. And they may not even be defined. but they're present in me, and it's not what I thought it was going to be like. And I think that just makes it a pressure filled moment. I mean, one real
does, but doesn't it have to be the freedom to say I'm ready to spend time with you? And how can we do that? I mean,
in my own life, there's a lot of times that just the busyness of my own home and kids and all that other stuff, it doesn't make for any real sort of quiet contemplative moments. And so it's like once everyone's finally in bed and the house is quiet, I will just go down into our living room and I'll just sit there. And there's times, and I've done this for years, where, I'll just, night after night, I'll just sit there and say, you know what, God, I don't even know if I know what I want. I don't know what I need, but I do have a hunger that I'm wanting to respond to and doing something in response to. I have a hunger for you, and I'm going to sit here, and I'm not sure how this time is going to be spent, but I am spending some time. I am taking the time to say, I want to develop a relationship with you. And there were nights that I actually hated that. I just sort of felt like this is about as dead as a doornail. And God,
not every time of doing that's fruitful. And that's what you're saying.
No. I'm saying that there's times that just made me angry because it didn't end up producing an encounter. And you're just going like, but I've known something over the years of simply, to some degree, making room in my day where it's like I'm not trying to think of the future and I'm not trying to deal with the past, but I'm trying to say, God, if you're anywhere or if you're on the backside of Pluto, I'm here right now.
Which is no longer a planet.
Yeah, okay. I'm here right now, and I want to learn how to relate to you. And one of the best examples that I could bring up, because I was having this discussion with my dad. My dad, he's 67. He knows God. He's grown up all his life learning about God, but he feels an absolute, just dead as a doornail block in terms of relating to God with a sense of intimacy that I think a lot of the people on the forum have been asking about. And we went for a bike ride on Christmas Day. A whole family, we just piled everyone up and we rode down to Sycamore Canyon Beach. And it was a glorious day. And my dad, I mean, it was transformational. It's like,
okay, all the people in the snow belt are
not
thrilled.
Yeah, okay, but fine. So, go out and go enjoy the ice storm someplace.
Which is what I did with Amy.
Yes, I know.
Enjoyed the snow.
But the reality is, for my dad, it was a surprised transformation. He felt liberated being on a bicycle. He doesn't ride a bike very often. And the last time he did, he had a horrible crash, and it was a terrible experience. This one was a good experience, and he just loved it. And we're trying to talk, and I said, you know what? I said, Dad, God does not live in the past. And you're always trying to rehash and deal with stuff in the past. And you're somewhat afraid of the security of the future. And God isn't there either. He is in your eternal now. And I said, you experienced something like that on that bike ride, didn't you? And that was a touch point for him because he realized I wasn't thinking about anything but enjoying that moment. And he said, you know what? I did sense something of, there was something different about that. And I just used that as a touchstone for him saying, you know what? When you're constantly trying to manipulate things of the future and you're trying to figure out your scenarios and what you do, God really isn't in that.
No.
And when you're really kind of, you're angry about something in the past and you're trying to work, God isn't in that much at all either. And most of us really don't spend any time just sitting down in the moment and perhaps enjoying something there. And I find those are my touchstones to God. When I was just outside, I was looking at my kids playing in the snow. I just
on the beach? Hold it now.
No, I went from the beach to the snow. That's California for you. We love it. It's out here. Come on, join us.
Was that a bike ride too? Or
no, what a bike ride. I'm sitting on this deck. I'm looking at my kids sledding, and I'm just having an absolute blast just watching them play. And I realized, for me, that was a moment to kind of connect with God and just go like, Lord, I don't know what next week holds. And I'm thankful for what you've done, but right now I am just filled with a sense of satisfaction and enjoying the relationship I'm having with my kids and being able to just be here to watch them. And I was thankful. And it wasn't like, gee, I'm going to be religious now and turn this into a moment of praise. I just had to go, Lord, I'm thankful.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a connecting point. It felt like I wasn't trying to pray. I wasn't asking for something, but I was having a natural conversation with Jesus. I didn't have anyone else on the deck with me to tell them what I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just naturally went, Lord, thanks. And I think it's out of those kind of things. They're not spectacular. He didn't say anything back. But I knew I wasn't alone, and I was just thankful.
And is that what you mean by intimacy when we talk about intimacy? It's just...
That's a measure of it. It really is.
That's a piece of it. Then you talk about this other piece where you're on the couch, and you're desperately hoping he'll show up in some way.
Yeah.
Frustrated. What do you do... What do you do at those moments? I mean, what are you doing when you say, I'm going to go spend some time with him? Is there any do's?
There's times that I've used the Bible as a real stepping stone into that, where I'll open up the scripture, and it's not because I got to find something I got to preach or I got to teach something, but I'll just sort of, you know, I'll have a sense that I want to read through the Gospels, and I'll try to insert myself into that story. And I'll open a dialogue. If I'll read something, I'll go like, Lord, I don't understand that. And so I'll turn some of those things into conversations and questions with God. That it's like, you know, Lord, I really don't get it when you say, don't worry about, you know, tomorrow. Because I am worrying about tomorrow. Help me stop. I don't know how to do that. And so there are things that I'll do there. There's other times that when I'm on my couch and I'm having that frustrated moment, I'll just get up from that couch, and I've learned to go like, you know what, Lord, I'm not going to put pressure on this moment. I'm not asking you to perform, and I certainly don't have energy to perform for you. Because so much of what I was taught growing up was I've got to do something. And so for me, I had to unlearn a lot of that. And it's not that you don't do anything now. It's just I've had to shift it where it's more like, you know what, I'll go take a walk. I'll go appreciate something of nature. I'll look at creation. That's a real touchstone for me because it's like I got these beautiful mountains behind our house that I can just go out and they're some of the most beautiful things I've seen in the Santa Monica Mountains. And I just look at those and just go like, wow, you do nice work. And that for me is a touchstone. And I will purposely look for something that I can start to have an appreciation and a thankfulness for. And I find that that helps connect me a little bit with God.
And if you're in the inner city, snowed in an ice storm.
And it's
no,
hard.
No power for days. And you can't go walk out and see the mountains. You can't ride your bike to the beach.
What do you do then?
Talk about that.
Well, God's actually gone from that situation. He's abandoned you.
I think
it's not just the circumstances of those things. I do think that in just about any situation, you can look at something and you can find something to criticize. You can find something to spiral yourself into your own angst, is a good word.
Thank you.
Or you can go, Lord, because I do think that there is an entrance of at least lifting your own heart and mind towards, you know, a thankfulness towards God. I find that that's very helpful. And so I do. I look for something that's like, Lord, what can I be thankful for? You know, I mean, I've traipsed through the jungle of third world countries where people are just trying to survive. And it's kind of made me a little bit immune from being able to have a pity party for too long. Because when I look at my own circumstances in comparison, you're just going, I really don't have anything to complain about. Do I have bad days? Do I ever get bummed out? Sure. But when I step back and try to get some perspective, for me, I think thankfulness and trying to find something to say, Lord, I do appreciate, I see your hand in this. That's a starting point.
I think that's really important. What I liked about what you shared about the conversation with your dad was to help him identify a moment where God makes himself known, where there's a sense of freedom and a sense of reality that's beyond the mundane, self-focused life that we live. And I honestly think that's very, very important. It's not essential. I wouldn't say it that way. But I do think what really is valuable in this is to find – I know we've said it before, but find a brother or sister who's down the road here a bit. Because I find when I hang out with people all over the world, even if just for a weekend or for a short amount of time, it's helping them see what God's already doing in them. I've met many, many people who say, you know, I've never heard God. I don't think I've ever sensed God. And the conclusion that they seem to try to make from that is, so obviously he doesn't speak to me. So obviously I don't get it. So obviously, 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 instead of, you know, I think there's ways God puts his fingerprints in all of our lives every day, even to unregenerate humanity.
I mean, absolutely.
Even what invites people to him is that God's fingerprinting himself. And we often miss it. We often don't know. I mean, I think people, particularly early on in this journey, don't know where to look. And all the places they're looking, they're not seeing it. And so they conclude, well, God's not doing it, rather than maybe there's a way I can see. And if I've got somebody near enough to me or walk alongside me, even for a little bit, and say, oh, well, no, hold it. That sounds like, because other people say, God never speaks to me. And then, you know, I'll be hanging out with them. And then the next day they'll talk about, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday. I had this real strong feeling. I said, well, hold it a minute. But they said God never speaks to you.
Where might that have come from?
And they'll say, what? You think that's God speaking to me? I say, well, yes, I do. That's what I call God speaking to me. There's convictions that God brings to my heart. There's something I see or am drawn to that I know is not just Wayne's way of doing things. And yeah, I begin to recognize that as God's fingerprints in my life. And I think a big part of this is helping people see those fingerprints. Because most people don't. They'll have a day biking to the beach and come back and say, that was a great day. And then they'll just try to duplicate that down the road, or just try and do other things that provide that feeling, and not realize that, no, there was something about God in that that transcends. Not, okay, let's everybody go on a bike ride, because then this is where
the formula principle
thing. It's everybody get on a bike and head to the beach, because then you'll find God there. No, that's not really it either. But helping people recognize the moments when God makes himself known, I think, is real important.
Well, I do think that, you know, so much of how we go about our the daily grind of life, it doesn't really invite you to just sort of celebrate the moment. That's almost like, well, that's kind of flighty. You know, shouldn't you be working? And there's just an ethos, I know, in our country. I don't know what it's like in all the other countries, but I do know in America, it's whacked. I mean, there is a grind, and there is a sense of, you know, so much of life is built on how do I prepare for my fears about the future. And I just sort of feel like that is one of the biggest distances for me from trying to connect with God. And it is a real challenge. I mean, like the other day.
We've almost made people, too, feel guilty when you have those moments where you're not doing anything constructive for the future.
Oh, yeah.
And there's almost a guilt about people even. I think the whole Sabbath idea of a day of rest, not as a religious observation to go to a bunch of meetings,
but I mean,
the freedom to have a day where I'm not trying to be productive for some future thing,
yeah,
or not trying to do work around the house or do all that, just having a day. Not necessarily every week, not necessarily the same day every week, but finding in our lives a rested, there are moments of rest where it's not that you're becoming a couch potato and, you know, you're becoming a sluggard and you let everybody else take care of you because you won't do anything for you. Man, I don't know too many people that are on that side of this imbalance, that are on the side of, you know, just too lazy. I'm sure there are people out there that are. But I think getting people to relax in the moment, and I mean, I think Matthew 6 is all about that. It's about living in this day. It's not.
There's enough to worry about to tomorrow.
Don't take the anxiety tomorrow into today, because God's not there. You mentioned the shack. I think one of the really poignant points in the shack is that whole idea of not living in your imagined future, because God is not in your imagined future. And most of our imagined futures that we've wasted countless hours fretting about never happened anyway the way we feared that it would.
Right.
And I think there's such a gift about learning to live in the present. Doesn't mean you can't plan. Doesn't mean you can't, you know, the other side of that is, well, just nobody does anything. No, you and I both, there's things we've got going on, things coming up down the road that we're getting
attention to. I am an absolute hard worker day in, day out.
Absolutely.
And yet, it's like, for me, it was trying to give permission to go like, you know what? That isn't my problem. That isn't where I'm stuck, being lazy. My problem is downshifting from the industriousness, the drivenness.
Absolutely.
And being able to say, all right, God, guess what? I'm going to actually perceive that you might help me in the future, and therefore I might be able to enjoy you right now. I don't have to worry about where I'm not. I can just be in this moment with you. And, man, that took a lot of undoing. That was not how I was raised.
I hear you, absolutely. And I think part of the point of Matthew 6 is the anxiety and worry is what blinds you to who God is in the moment. And so even when I'm worried about intimacy, I'm worried about making this connection with God, the anxiety of trying to produce this relationship is a detriment to the relationship.
Yeah.
At the same time, the other side of that is the desire to seek him, the desire to have it, to go spend some time with the intentionality of being before him. And you mentioned reading the Bible. I mean, there's not a moment I'm ever intentionally spending with him that I don't have a Bible in my lap or on my desk. I mean, to me, that's and I know that I'd like to do a whole podcast sometime on Scripture, because we've got a little bit of a discussion going on the forum right now. I think it's pretty good. Some people say, I don't feel like God led me away from the Scripture for a time. And that freaks some people out, because, like, well, God would never do that kind of thing.
Terrible.
But the reality is, most of us have been taught even to read the Bible religiously.
Yeah.
And then it's just no fun. It's boring. And not only is it boring, but when you read through it religiously, all you just know, okay, here's what I'm not doing. Here's what I'm not doing.
Here's a whole list of things I'm not good at.
Instead of reading through what we read in the Bible to get to know God as he is and the way God thinks and letting that soak into our being. I find for me, I mean, I spend a number of moments in a week's time where there's that intentional just sitting before him, reading, seeking, praying, whatever. But I find my most effective times of relationships are usually on the run. I mean, I enjoy having the moment, usually here now, or going for a walk nearby, where I'm just thinking of him, praying to him. But I'm not one of those guys that say, hey, God, here's my list of questions, and I'll come back from my walk with 15 answers. I don't. I mostly come back without any answers. I just come back with, man, I love that guy, and I may have some thoughts about things. But I find that the wisdom about things I'm dealing with kind of spills out during the day. It kind of, when I'm least, I may be just getting in the car, or mowing a lawn, or sitting in the shower, or standing in the shower, or I may do something totally unrelated when some of those real moments of revelation, something to write to someone in an email, or something that's kind of clicked some things in my life.
I sort of feel like, you know, one of the things I was exhorted by someone years ago to just be responsive to those little ideas that get popped in your head. And when they first said it, I kind of...
Particularly the ones you know aren't yours.
Yeah, big deal, you know. But I mean, so oftentimes, I think it's hard, unless you do give kind of a concerted, intentional effort to think about, okay, what's traveling through my brain? And is this from me? Is this from some outside source? Is this some expectation I'm you know, thinking or feeling from somebody else? And I spent a fair amount of time just trying to be disciplined to go, like, okay, what are the impulses and where might they be coming from? It's an inexact science. It's not just touchy-feely, but you're just going, like, okay, it's subjective. There's no way to make that objective. I don't know. What if I'm wrong? Well, I don't know. Maybe I am wrong. But I'm still going to spend some time trying to go, like, where's this coming from? And if I have any inkling that it could be from God, then I want to do something about it. I want to put my hand to that and say, okay, let's pretend maybe this is from God. I'll only know if I actually walk it out. And so many people, I think, are so bound up going, like, but what if it's wrong? And so, like, you know what? So you fail. Is that such a terrible thing? Or so you get it wrong. So you thought it was God, and it proves out, nope, that's really stupid. Okay?
Yeah, there's some major consequence. You think God's asking you to hijack a jet. Okay?
Oh,
you
know, okay, yeah.
People do that kind of
stuff.
But
you could test that a little bit with the Scripture, don't you think?
A Scripture. Even share it with a friend or two. Well, how does this sound? Sounds pretty stupid. Put it up.
No, but
I got a friend in New England, and I love this. Every time I talk to him, he says, you know where God teaches? He says this to everybody he helps learn to live this journey. The things God will first start talking to you about are not the mysteries of the universe.
Right.
It's to wash out your shavings crap in the sink instead of leaving it there for your wife to do. It's taking out the trash when it's not something you normally do. It's seeing the you know, carpet needs to be vacuumed. Instead of getting angry at your wife for not vacuuming, you leave the vacuum clean, you do it. That the things God first nudges on your heart
totally within your domain.
Ways of loving other people to your own self-sacrifice, if you could say it that way. It's not, oh, God's telling me neat things to go and ministries to build and things to share with the world. It really is about, how do I love my neighbor? How do I love my wife? How do I become a better spouse in the sense of letting God's love flow through me? And I think that's true in my life. I mean, I hear him first. in those very mundane things, it's easy to pass over. Yeah, okay, I'm not taking out the trash.
Let's talk about something important, God.
Sarah will get to that if I don't. Yeah, that we pass off those things and then wonder why later. I mean, there's so much in Jesus' language about, you know, be faithful in the little things. And
yeah.
Then there's bigger things
well,
that God
has. Now you mentioned a principle.
I know.
Darn you.
No, darn me.
Yeah.
Don't start that. I got the FCC guy here.
The reality is there are truth-filled principles that if you'll abide by, it's like being faithful with a little, God will entrust you with much. Why is he going to speak volumes to us if we won't even listen to the, hey, take out the trash?
That's right.
And it's not just that God gives you a do list, but I mean, there's little creative things that I know that so oftentimes it's like God gives me just a little nudging, like, why don't you spend some time writing about that? And you're just going, well, I'm not writing a book. I mean, because I'm trying to look for the end outcome of something.
Right.
And I assess whether I think that's worthwhile pursuing. I'll sum up, well, I don't want to do that. And you're just going like, but you know what? I've learned to just back up and go, you know what? I'm going to respond to just a couple of those little things. You know, a song that I listened to, I all of a sudden felt like, man, I don't know why or where. It wasn't a worship song. It's just a song. It was just sparking creativity in me. So I put it on repeat. And I just sat there going like, I don't know what this is doing. It's not bad. And so I'll give myself to those little nudges and just respond to them. And it's not always warm, fuzzy, wonderful things.
Right.
Another day, I was supposed to pick up one of the kids for basketball. And I'm coaching basketball. And the kid that I was picking up, you're just going like, frankly, what a hassle. I have other things to do that I was considering far more important. And yet what is turning out in the last few weeks is picking up this one kid for basketball practice, driving away from where practice is to his house, and the small little time that we're just together is opening up a relationship that I'm now going like, you know what? I think this is far more important than the entire rest of the basketball stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This seems to be the one thing that God is really inhabiting, and I'm going like, I have no idea what the full outcome is other than right now, I'm supposed to invest in this kid who doesn't have a dad, and I'm not going to try to be his dad. I'm just being somebody in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thrilled with what first felt like a total hassle.
Yep.
And I know it's God who's kind of shifted, saying, guess what? I'd like you to do this.
Yep.
Did I have the freedom to say no? Oh, totally. Would I have missed something I'm now excited about? Yeah. And for me, I'm just going like, wow, I am thankful that I am starting to become a lot better at responding to those little things.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the only way I've learned to, I mean, it says in Hebrews that because of practice, we have been able to train our senses to discern the difference between good and evil. And I was like, well, when was practice? I mean, we have basketball practice. We have games, we have practice. Well, when's discernment practice? Every single day.
It's life.
Every single moment, I can discern where's this coming from? And I just decided, you know what? I'm going to go to practice. I'm going to take everything that happens in my day and try to go, God, are you in any of this? It's not like, Jesus, what shirt should I wear today? I mean, you know, you can take that to absurdity.
And there's not necessarily 30 of those things a day that God makes clear to you. Maybe two or three things a week. You know,
yeah.
It's not, I think people get the idea that, you know, God becomes my little chummy buddy and I just kind of walk around with him on my shoulder whispering things in my life all day long. That really, it doesn't happen
for me.
I
think that's a false image.
But what would you say to someone? I mean, some of the people that have written to us, and you get the feeling like, I don't know, I've never seen, never, you know, trying to ask me to speak Russian, I've never spoke Russian. What would you say to someone if they were listening to us right now and just saying, okay, guys, I love it, I get it, it's never happened for me. Where do I start? What can I do? Because folks want to do something. What would you say to that?
I'd make your request known to God. The first thing I tell him to do is, you know what?
Tell God.
Tell God the guy you've never encountered. I'll just assume that's okay. Maybe you never have.
Yep.
Tell him that you would like that. And tell him you have no idea what it looks like. You have, if you have any desire for how it should look like, you might as well put that on the table. I think it'd be helpful to put that stuff on the table and say, God, you know, lift my house up 3 feet. I'm not sure he's going to do that stuff. But it's better for you to get it out so that all of a sudden, perhaps, there's some freedom for you to not demand what it looks like, but perhaps start to be available for whatever it might be. And I do think the other thing is, then start to look for it. Take your request seriously. Because I got to sit there to the flip side. Does God want to communicate to us? I think he wants to communicate to us far more than any of us have ever had a hunger for him. So I don't think he's going, ooh, what was that? I missed that. Could you ask it again? I'm pretty sure he's absolutely right there going like, oh, I have been waiting for this moment. I think God takes that seriously. But then I do think it's a little bit of a divine hide and seek. It says in Proverbs that it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it's the glory of kings to search it out. Well, without trying to give a little sermon on this, I do think there's a little bit of hide and seek where God is kind of saying, you know what? I want to be found by you, but I want to engage you in this journey of seeking me. And I don't think he makes it hard. But I don't think he is trying to just, it's not just a trifle thing. I think God is wanting honesty and reality.
It doesn't happen by accident. I think a couple of things that folks can look for, and again, these I wouldn't say, hey, here's a formula, go do this and it'll happen anymore. I'd say go ride a bike to the beach and God will be there.
Right.
But we've talked about the Bible being a big part of that. And I'd say people, if you're not used to recognizing Jesus in your life, one of the best things you can do is just immerse yourself for a few months in the Gospels. And I don't mean study them like inductive, but I just mean read it. Get to know the kinds of things Jesus says and does. And to me, that helps recognize. I think having that kind of engagement with the Bible, the Gospels especially, is very, very helpful. And I think having a conversation with others who are having this journey is very helpful.
Yeah.
Whether that's, if all you got's the internet, the forum, or, you know, Skype, or, you know, conversation with somebody that's 2,000 miles away, if that's all you got, get that. That's not a bad deal. It's not the be-all, end-all of having a face-to-face person in the room with you. But I would really just have the conversation with a couple of other brothers or sisters. Find some people that have no hunger yet. Maybe none of you know how to follow God and listen, but maybe you'd get together once a week and talk about that. If you know anybody that's willing to do that. I think some of those things are also very helpful in my experience. And then there's not a time in my spiritual journey when I'm not reading a book other than the Bible. It may be some real historical thing. It may be some contemporary thing about Jesus, because I want to think about Jesus along with somebody else who's thinking about Jesus. So there's rarely a time I'm not working my way through some book. Sarah and I are reading a Gail Irwin book together now in the morning and enjoying it. And I'm reading an Anne Lamott book right now, which she's just one funny gal. But it stirs me to think about God in ways I wouldn't think about if I wasn't hearing somebody else's thoughts. I think those are some things that can
you
be very helpful.
You
as well.
Do need some kind of fresh perspective that helps you look at life a little different. Because if you've been looking in one direction and you just concluded God is not there at all, then you need help to kind of perhaps pull back the lens and see something a little more.
I think that can be very helpful, but also reading through the Bible does this as I'm reading different. All of a sudden, something I'm reading provokes me to think about something that my life is not going to invite me to think about today. I mean, it's not
right,
but boy, it does fit into my life. Or I'll read something in Anne Lamott or Gail Irwin that goes, oh, see, I would have never had that thought today. But
yeah,
that really makes sense for whatever this situation is. So I think some of those things for people to say, I don't know what to do. Those are a few things you can begin to do.
You know, Another thing that I have found helpful, but I do know is a challenge for people at times. There's not a single actual friendship that I have with a person that doesn't have some kind of shared communication, verbal communication. I talk to them, whether it's on the phone, whether it is emailing,
right,
or whether it's in person over coffee.
Yep.
There's actual language.
Yep.
And it's not awkward anymore for me to actually say something to them. I think a lot of people, and I don't call it prayer, I just have a conversation with God. And you may feel like I'm talking to the wall, and or I'm speaking and there's nobody there, and I feel goofy about that. You got to get past the goofiness. And if you're sitting there and you're not vocalizing anything, I don't think there's some magical power in words. I just know there's a difference of my trying to cerebrate intellectually about God.
Oh, that was a fancy word.
I know.
Wow.
I got one. And the actual, I'm speaking, and I can tell in my own voice when I'm being honest, when I'm meaning what I say, and when there's a comfortability there. I know that. And I think it's important to actually spend the time getting past your self-consciousness.
Yeah, verbalizing our prayers, even reading scripture out loud. I do think verbalizing is incredibly important.
Yeah.
It's not a cerebral adventure. You can't just sit there and think things in. You can sometimes, but I do find it's very important to put words to things. And even when I'm praying, and I'm praying, when I'm praying, I'm trying to think, am I praying to the Father, to the Son, to the Spirit? And sometimes it's all three. Sometimes there's certain things that Father and I engage that Jesus, and I get very, sometimes very lazy about that. You're just kind of throwing titles on prayers. And I find those are my least valuable prayer times. But when I'm more set on the person I'm talking to, rather than just talking into ether.
And that's what, because when people tell me, like, you know, well, I just feel like I'm making it up. It's like, you know what? I know what that is. I know that objection. I had to work past that to the point where it's like, you know what? When I'm praying, I know who I'm talking to, and I'm serious about what I'm saying. And I recognize, I think he takes me seriously too. And there's a satisfaction of going, I've communicated. I might not have the answers I want. I may not have Jesus talk back to me the way I might love to have an encounter like that. But the truth is without it being spooky, weird, or just for the special, God does talk back at moments. Sometimes it's surprising. Sometimes the nature of the heartfelt honesty of my communication makes it feel like I'm actually having a conversation in real time and space, because I do get a sense of response. There's one other moment that I found incredibly valuable, and that's when I'm just waking up. And I'm not a morning person.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay, I am an absolute night owl, and I put them to bed. But there's that moment when I'm still asleep, I'm not fully awake, that I have found oftentimes there are very clear things that come into my brain at those moments that I know this is not groggy me thinking about something. And I've recognized I don't run past those anymore. It's like, Lord, if you're saying my, because I got a noisy brain, it can get in the way.
Oh, I tell you what, I'm a morning person. As soon as I wake up in the morning, my brain's already gone. So I don't have those kind of moments.
So some of those moments where I just know, you know what, my brain is not in the way here. My spirit is awake, and God is engaging me in some way. I've learned to just be responsive and meditative about those things. And as I wake up, really, as opposed to putting that aside or just pretending, oh, yeah, who knows what that is, I've taken those things seriously at times, and they've been really fruitful.
Well, there's obviously a lot we can talk about. We're kind of getting on longer here than we normally like to run on these things. Hopefully for Chuck and some of the others have said, could you kind of get it out of the vagueness a little bit? I hope this is what you're asking for. I hope this helped. These are some of the things. There's obviously more that we can, and I'm sure we'll talk about in podcasts to come. One of the things that Chuck mentioned here, which I thought was good, he said, we would benefit much from the descriptions of a gamut, to use Brad's word. See, your
there
word
you go.
Is gamut.
I have, ooh,
mine's angst, but you have a word. Of various individuals' journeys, specifically sharing the ways God used to bring them into greater intimacy with him. Not so much, again, this wouldn't be formula. This would be stories from people saying, this is how it worked for me. This is how it worked for me.
Incredibly helpful.
And I think it would be, if we could have a number of you either on the forum, if you're on the forum, do it there. If you want to do it as a comment on the blog, do it there. But if we could have just a number of you that would say, well, gosh, this is when it first happened for me, or this is part of my experience of intimacy that would give some real concrete how it happened, not how everybody should do it.
The touchstones.
Just how it happens for me. I think that'll be very helpful. I'm looking forward to another year doing this, brother.
This is going to be a blast.
Thanks for traveling with us today on The God Journey. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd appreciate your comments or your questions by email or at our website, thegodjourney.com. Stop by today and join the conversation.